Welcome and thanks for listening. Here at Oddcast, we are very grateful to live and record in the beautiful Pacific Northwest on the current ancestral and unceded territories of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish peoples. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Only Wizards in the Dungeon podcast, and what may be, or should be, the finale of Something Horrible in Whoville. That's right, our wonderful
Holy group. Smokes.
Yeah. So much is happening.
I don't think we properly mourned the penultimate episode.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Cav. In Meat Space, In Between Space, Skirs It, or actually, yeah, Skirs, no, Who Space, Skirs, In Between Space, Skirs It. Who's space master of this game. Let us introduce our players before I give a recap and give my fun fact. So let's go left this time. We were going right the other times. So we're going to start with our player to our left. Please introduce your character in Meat Space, in Between Space, and in Who's Space.
Well, if I was in a scary movie franchise and I was a rapper, my rapper name would be Leaky G, you know? But anyway, in Who's Space, my name
Why
is...
Why leaky? Why are you leaking?
Yeah, where?
Where are you leaking?
Where are you leaking?
Is this anyway, a leaky gut
space
thing?
Character is
leaky
sister.
G.
It's, no, leaky gut. Sister Valerie Wu, an aspiring all natural nun.
Yeah.
All natural.
Sometimes all natural means asymmetrical.
Well, life is asymmetrical.
That's right.
You know, and people who don't appreciate that, well, they get what they deserve.
Yeah.
Karma bitch. And then my Meat Space profile is, Meat Space the real one or the...
Meat Space is your real one.
Okay, it's Will. And my In Between Space is Gambage Yellow. Jesus Christ, every time. We need to keep adding those. Like, there's Meat Space, there's this space.
I like that.
Space, and at some point, we're going to be like, oh God. It's like, you know when you look at someone's Twitter and they're like... They start like adding all of the things, you know.
So
at first,
tags.
People were like, "Oh, pronouns is too
there's
much."
Not and enough space like, by the scriptors.
Anyhow, fun fact. What's my fun fact? Oh, I'm going to Cologne next week or in a week. I don't know. In the next,
I thought you were
going to
say Cologne, but Cologne's way cooler.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Cologne, Germany.
Yeah, and I thought it was like a fun city. I'm like, oh, Cologne. I heard about it. In Russian, it's called Köln, and I was like, oh, Köln. You know, it's nice. And then I look it up, and there's like this big like. Church thing, and I'm like, oh, cool. Okay, what else is there?
Yeah,
there's nothing fucking else in the city, and I'll be stuck there.
It looks pretty. It's quite pretty though.
Longer than a week, is it though?
Yeah.
Again, like that, like.
Isn't it Köln in German too? Like K O umlaut L N.
Köln. It's only in English that it's like Cologne.
Yeah. It's probably Köln or something like that. But in Russian, in English, it's Cologne, like colon. I'm like, okay,
that's because we misspelled it and mispronounced it.
Yeah, anyway, so Cologne more
the
than
the French misspelled
and
it, and then we mispronounced that.
Yeah, right, you're right.
I'm just going to try to find some fun things.
Doesn't it have
to do
like
there?
Hot
buy,
springs?
Buy some cologne while you're there.
Yeah.
Hot springs? I mean, I'm working there, so it's not like I have old
bring
age
back some cologne. Ex-vat.
Get
like,
some
that's why Cologne's named after it, because it has like mineral baths or something.
There you go.
Or maybe
not,
it did.
You know,
like,
I'm not like a mineral bath massage kind of guy. Like I'm not.
You should get.
Well, if you're gonna do it in Cologne.
Cologne.
You need to do. You need to get a currywurst and tell me if it kills you because it is spiced in the German way, which means curry powder and ketchup.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Okay,
they're actually not bad. They're actually kind of good.
Yeah.
But,
the Dutch imported goods store in my neighborhood has curry mayonnaise.
Oh, yeah. So that yeah. I like that vibe.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's some
tasty.
East, well, I guess, Central European thing.
Eat some sausages. Yeah, some German sausages. Definitely. That's what I'm going to have.
Yeah. Oh, well. Mustard. With that, I guess we'll introduce our next player. In Meat Space.
In Meat Space, I am Gray. In between the spaces.
What's your scary movie
rapper? In between the cracks of the cushions of the couch, I am. Yes.
The change you lost last.
Agent Gumba. No, I'm not. Agent Umber. I am Agent Umber. Not Gumba. I can't believe I even just said that.
No.
Oh, my
just
God.
Be me. That's
oh,
what
my
is.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to step out for a minute. Contemplate things. And then in my Who Space, I am aboard the Starship Enterprise.
Yelena Petrovna.
That's a good name.
Leading to worlds unknown. No, I am Purdy Who Bunkins, just trying to do her best with her candy cane locks, you know, unlocking the keys to dark deeds, darkly dreaming Dexter to Donnie Darko's. And it's and we're, I don't know, this could be a moment for poor Purdy. Purdy might not make it out, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, tell her, but
not all of you may. Your characters may.
It could be ending abruptly. And my fun fact for today is actually a fact about the Grinch, that the Grinch did not first appear in How the Grinch Stole Christmas. In fact, before the Grinch was written as a curmudgeonly miser or a very Scrooge-like character, mm-hmm. which I guess was a projection of how Dr. Seuss was feeling when he wrote it. He was like, I'm kind of a miser around the holidays. I'm not really feeling too good about it. I'm upset with the whole consumerism thing. So he wrote himself as a character, the Grinch, who then gets, you know, converted back to the spirit, true spirit of Christmas.
Oh.
Before that, it actually appeared, and I'll read it for you, a small short story called The Hubbub and the Grinch, about a hubbub that is sitting underneath a tree. Uh-huh. Just enjoying the sun and the shade. And a Grinch shows up and says, I would like, how much for this string, this green string? And tries to sell him a green string. So let me read it for you. It's not very long, but it is worthwhile, because the Grinch turns out is a used car salesman. He's a Wolf of Wall Street originally. Okay. The Hubbub and the Grinch. The Hubbub was lying outdoors in the sun, the wonderful, wonderful warm summer sun. There's nothing, he said, quite as good as the sun. Then walked up a Grinch with a piece of green string. How much, asked the Grinch, will you pay for this thing? You sure ought to have it. You'll find it great fun, and it's worth a lot more than that old-fashioned sun. Huh, asked the Hubbub. Sounds silly to me. Worth more than the sun? Why, that surely can't be. But it is, grinned the Grinch. Let me give you the reasons. The sun's only good in a couple short seasons. For you'll have to admit that in winter and fall, the sun is quite weak. It's not strong at all. So now it's sounding kind of like Trump there. Not very strong. But this is wonderful. This wonderful piece of string I have here is strong, my good friend. Every month of the year. Even so, said the Hubbub. I still see of doubt, sort of doubt, but you know, yapped the Grinch, and he started to shout, that sometimes the sun doesn't even come out, but this marvelous piece of string, I declare, can come out of your pocket, if you harp it in there, any time, any day, or night, any place, anywhere. Said the Hubbub, that would be quite handy, this green piece of string, yelled the Grinch. Is a dandy. That sun, let me tell you, it's dangerous stuff. It can freckle your face. It can make your skin rough. When the sun gets too hot, it can broil you like fat. But this piece of green string, sir, will never do that. This piece of green string is colossal, immense. And to you, well, I'll sell it for 98 cents. And the Hubbub, he bought. And I'm sorry to say that Grinches sell Hubbubs. Such things every day.
Oh.
Okay, biggest question.
How crazy that he turned into the anti-consumer. The whole, it's like it's a circular. The wow. Grinch was the Grinch was the seller, and now the Grinch is the.
So who yeah. is Hubbub?
But they both kind of exist as cautionary tales.
That's right.
About the, yeah. I assume right. the Hubbub is just a character, or like a type of creature that's a Hubbub.
Add Sneetches to it, and we've got yeah. like a bit of a pattern Sneetches, for yeah. Dr. Seuss.
How crazy is that, though? Like, maybe the Grinch started this whole thing and was like, and then created his own problem, and now he's like, they're all just consumers.
Yeah.
They keep buying string. God
damn it.
String yeah. and boxes and packages and whatever he says.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, crazy. The more you know.
That's such a good fact that's relatable to what we're doing right now.
Yeah, so fit that in now, Cav.
Okay, if you're getting more points.
It has to be woven in there.
Yeah, skirts. I can do that. Absolutely can do that, because the Grinch sold a bunch of random stuff when he, you know, finished.
He started running. His own, exactly. He had all these inventions, and then he started the cycle again.
Yeah, there you go.
Accidentally.
Next character, next player.
Jeez. Okay, In meat space, I'm Graham. In middle space, I am the agent Periwinkle. And in Whoville space, I am Sandra Sue Lou. An interesting fact, I accidentally discovered the map for our forthcoming engagement and stared at it for a good little while, thinking it was a drawing of like something inside a human body.
Cross section of a
vertebrae.
That's
or
a
like
hoobies.
Somebody's like trachea.
You're no, saying that is a hoobiest?
That's like a hoobiest when that's like the one of the subsections. That's a hoobiest embryo.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It has two heads starting to form. You can see.
It looks kind of like Shrek.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot. Shrek shares a lot of features with hoobies.
All right.
They're both like onions, flavor-wise sometimes, but also they have layers.
They've got layers of flesh.
Yeah, that you can peel a hoobies.
Peel a hoobies.
One of the like great things about hoobies skin is you can peel it, so it's like crackling. You can easily make it into like crispy skin.
An important thing to note is that
like neither of them. You can peel it like an orange. Like yeah, like a banana. You can peel like a plantain.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right.
I think that's called degloving.
Yeah, you can deglove a hoobies really quickly. And they don't die afterwards. So you can actually then take the live hoobies and use it for other things after you've degloved it, which is so fun. You know, deglove, spatchcock,
call it flay ranged.
Wait,
if you've
kind
of walked around after a little while after taking its skin off.
Yeah.
You can marinate it alive.
Live marinated, flay ranged.
Yeah. Oh, God. Hoobies. Yeah.
What is the general consensus on defanging snakes?
Hoobies? Like, always important.
You want to make sure you get all the fangs out of the hoobies. They'll just bite themselves trying to kill themselves. If you don't defang them, they'll be gone before you know
it. It's very important. Okay. All hoobies are fed like geese being fattened up for their livers. So horrifically.
Okay, there's always these freaking anti-foie gras ads on the SkyTrain.
Yes.
And like, maybe this is classist, but I keep looking at them like, what is the Venn diagram of people who've ever eaten foie gras and people who regularly ride the SkyTrain? Because I feel like we're probably looking at separate circles.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah.
I wonder if they're getting much traction on that, their issue there by...
And they're like specifically Christmas oriented. I saw one the other day that said, please take this down. Christmas was like months ago.
Months ago.
Nobody's paying for new ads.
Yeah.
They had all this free
Well, that's
exposure.
Been a thing on public transportation for quite a while.
Yeah, there's like space, but not as
Oh, bad. There's like three ads and they're all from the government and they're all like months out of date.
Oh, and then a lot of schools. Those are no longer there, but used to be a lot of schools. Well, anyways, my fun fact, I guess. I have a weird fun fact. I can't think of one that's weirdly related to Seussian.
It's not Seussian?
Stuff. So I'm just going to make it canon that Seuss has a justice system a lot like Korea, which I found out in South Korea. There's a legacy of it was a dictatorship for like most of its early history, which people don't know about. And then it has like a justice system where you don't have trial by jury, which is weird. Like, you know, literally you sometimes in rare instances have trial by jury, but most trials are entirely just like the judge hears the case and says, okay, I agree with this one or this one, which I think is bad because I don't know. I just have like, I found this out because me and Jonathan watched on the topic of horror, we watched like a really sad movie we didn't know was super sad about an event in South Korea where like a lot of children were abused who were like deaf. And it came out like decades later that this school that had ran for like 10 years had like a history of like lots of physical and like sexual assault. And then it got released in Korea because the reason it never got actually like justice wasn't given was that a judge was literally bribed, because you just bribe the judge. There's no like you just can go to the person in charge and be like, oh yeah, give this person a better ruling or don't include this evidence. And then the other issue is that you can like do weird shit where the certain judges, like when you are a lawyer, I don't know if this is true in South Korea right now, but if you're a lawyer and it's your last case before you're retiring, you get to like, or maybe if it's your first case, you get this thing where it's like, you were a lawyer for a long time and it's your first case, so we will make sure you win regardless of whether the person deserves to win or not.
Yep.
And I was like, that's horrifically broken. And so because we're in an Eldritch Horror, I'm going to say that...
Well, no, I assume they're just going to give them the case where it's you're probably going to win.
No, it's not even that. It's that the ruling always ends up being more favorable for the person.
What?
Because they are like... Given retiring, this
yeah.
Because
so they want to like, double you before they like leave.
Yeah, it's like a way to like win cases without actually having to have a good case.
That is crazy.
Yep. So this is Eldritch Horror. So of course, all of Whoville's current justice system is modeled off of South Korea's.
Terrific. should we get right into the insanity of this?
So lots of shit's happening. Let's go into our recap quickly. You left Luis and the injured Donald with his chicken wing gun and the driver in the car outside of the Whoville Sanitation Department, which you visited last time to try and get more information about what happened to Ronald and to figure out what was happening with Budwell, the head of the department. When you went inside, you spoke to a few staff members that Sandra knew from company events, and they, you know, apologized for hearing about what happened to Ronald and told them that Budwell had gone to see Ronald a day ago or so. And after doing so, you went up to the supervisor level, the last level you had access to with a card, and met LaCroix Crew, who was a obvious cult leader and somebody who's obsessed with symmetry. I basically told you that they would give you access to Budwell's office if you went up there and considered whether you wished to continue fighting them or assist them in their quest. There you read a book which revealed the true history of Whoville to those who had a connection to the Dreamlands, either because they were a conduit, which is a term you just discovered, like Purdy, or had a connection to the Shawl, which is a sentient force that comes from the Dreamlands itself. While reading it, you realize that maybe Budwell doesn't have a full understanding of the book, but that he assumes that he is going to survive an impending apocalypse or a inevitable destruction of Whoville if he offers things to Thrillgrib, Sovereign of Greed, a incomprehensible Eldritch Horror that sleeps under Mount Crumpet. It was also revealed why the Whos don't have children, and also Whoville is a facility created by a species from the Dreamlands that came here to harvest the reality-altering dreams and the essence of Thrillgrib for their own means before they abandoned the facility and left. You then, after finding a map that was put there by Budwell that gave a location on the mountain in a cave, LaCroix came up to the top level and asked if you would be willing to help them and join the cult in their quest. And you lied to them, essentially, and agreed to go with them as they opened up a personal Dump It to Mount Crumpet connection to the backside of Mount Crumpet, where this cave was located. You hopped inside and zoomed past just with LaCroix and ended up in a snowbank a short distance down from a cave that is lit partway up Mount Crumpet itself. LaCroix, as he flies out of the tunnel system, you see he flies up and flits a little bit like a piece of paper fluttering in the wind and then lands on his feet in the snow, whereas you all went into the snowbank itself and have to kind of shake off. He looks at you and goes, okay, well, we're here, so let's all go up and help with the ritual. Why don't we?
Off we go.
Yeah.
So, all right, just lead the way.
Okay, now I'm going to have to ask you to make sure that you keep all of your weapons visible. If you have it.
Visible?
Yeah.
Why is that?
So that we know if you're going to do anything stupid.
Oh, all right.
So you just see, I assume you just pull out your gun, but to show it, you pull out your sword, and then Valerie just pulls out fists, I assume, pushes their boobs up a little bit.
Guns.
And then he begins to lead you up the mountain itself.
I wonder what he means by something stupid. I mean, I wouldn't exactly call this ritual smart the way it's been described.
I don't know. I mean, I wonder if maybe they're thinking that maybe they lied. Do you think maybe they were being dishonest with us? They planned to harm everyone?
I mean, I'm sure they didn't pull a sudden about face and stop being dishonest to us.
Oh, right.
Well,
I thought we're on the same team now.
We are on the same team. So I'm just going to tell you. We're going to go up there and speak to Budwell. Going up a switchback road. So you essentially are going up this switchback path, and it's getting quite windy, and there's a little bit of snow kind of blistering through the air. You see that LaCroix has to essentially like hold on to things to not be blown away, since they seem unnaturally light, but they're keeping themselves together as you're going up the mountain. Do you want to do anything as you're going up, or just prepare to go into the cave?
It's maybe roll spot hidden just for the sake of it.
Sure.
A three.
87. That's one over what I needed to roll.
Oh no.
I got a 75, and I needed to get which one? Sorry, it's a
spot hidden.
Yeah, and I am. Where's my spot hidden?
My spot hidden is 75.
Oh, my spot hidden is 34.
I'm fucking like
brutal. Like,
so Valerie,
my cloak tells me.
Yeah, you're like looking around. Your cloak says.
Yeah. The cloak is like, oh look, there is a trap right there.
The cloak goes, the individual seems
sussy baka.
A little suspicious. I don't like that he doesn't move normally, but also I sense something in the cave. Something I've interacted with before.
Mormons.
They're Mormons. I've definitely killed my fair share of Mormons in the Dreamlands. But no, I have not. I don't sense any Mormons here. Oh, wait. Are you talking about Mormons the people or Mormons the horrible space monsters?
My understanding was that the first one believed they become the second one.
Oh, no. They're different people. I've killed the space monsters. Only one Mormon has died by my hands, and it was definitely an accident.
And it was just a car accident.
Yes, it was just a car accident.
Okay. I'm wondering if maybe we should be like, is there should be like some Anthony Hopkins narration as we're climbing this mountain?
I mean, you can like
some sushi. Some needs to be some rhyming.
Anthony Hopkins.
What is this narration? He narrates the movie.
Oh yeah.
Oh, so does he?
Like,
okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can rhyme in like just out of nowhere, but I can be like,
we can't. Will they be able to stop this ritual from coming? But how?
I must stop this ritual from coming.
The trio walks up the switchback mountain.
It needs to be rhyming. It's Susian. Yeah. This is hard. It's harder to rhyme than you think.
You can think it up and record it later.
Oh, God. The trio goes up the snowy hills, wondering how will they pay the eldritch bills.
How will they pay the bills?
A feeling of dread the inside of them fills.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes. Which one of them dies and which one of them kills?
Yeah. A hoobit is under a tree. I don't know if it's a hoobit or what was it? A hoobut?
Hoobob?
Hoobob. A hoobob is found under a tree.
Frozen solid for all to see.
Yeah, exactly.
The icy wind in his frozen remains sings. His frozen fingers holding a green bit of string.
Oh, that one works.
Oh, that's good.
You see a...
Well, that's creepy. Yeah. What is that?
You see a hoobub, which
it's like we're climbing Mount Everest. There's just a body. This is great. There's hoobubs and string left and right.
A hoobub is just a hoobiest that has somehow grown a third head on its butt.
Oh, a hoobub.
Yeah.
Before the Who Beast, there was a Hoobub.
Oh, it's like a weird, like, lankier creature that's far more grotesque looking than a frozen solid.
No, it's got, I mean, it was a conversation they were having. It can't be a screaming Hoobub.
That's fair.
It's just Dr. Seuss. Frozen solid.
You kind of get closer to the cave. You see the cave is lit by a fire, a green flame, just sort of in a brazier. And as you come up to the top, you are now partway up the mountain. You can see a little bit of Crumpback Ridge, which is the, again, that lower, that basically the poorer part of town in the distance. You can see actually where the tree would have been standing in the tree farm a little bits away. And you see a line of roots which would have connected from that tree up into the cave itself, which have withered away and blackened because of your actions previous. You see that LaCroix hobbles inside and proceeds to go, okay, after you. and points into the lit tunnel.
Well, I guess we gotta go. We gotta go with it. We gotta go.
Yep. You hobble through.
Even steps, remember, evenly spaced steps.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I don't fucking do this.
Silly walk, silly walk.
Like a little bit like,
yeah.
Sandra's doing that thing where she steps down and then again, so it looks like she has dinosaur feet.
Oh my God.
Each step.
I have like inconsistent, yeah, for sure. Fuck yeah. Him.
He stops looking at you. He's looking away. He simply can't pay attention to you.
He's like the worst, like, he's so easy to trick. Like, yes. Let's say he's in our room, and if we need to, like, for him not to look at us, we just start acting super, like,
I was
not perfect, and he's like, no.
You know? I was thinking, like, his way of, like, needing to repeat everything. It's like, okay, take all the bullets out of my gun, and then put it on the table next to him.
Yeah,
and
you pick up your
gun, and he picks up his gun.
He'll have to shoot himself. That's how we kill him. Yeah, just kill yourself.
He doesn't mimic. He's not a mimicry.
He seems to be a few times.
He does mimic what you say if you like tell him something, and it just leaves like to no con. It's more like he can't.
It needs to. It needs to like loop itself back around. It needs to like, feel complete.
Yeah. It's more like he's irksome. He's got irksome. He does have avoidance. He will avoid things that are
OCD
too.
Thing. He needs.
Yeah,
to,
he's
like,
very
he needs
OCD.
To, like, feel things are concluded.
Yes, he's very OCD in that sense more than anything. You see that he lets you go forward. You walk through a tunnel that kind of snakes a bit, and then eventually you actually pass through, but not stop in. What you notice is the Grinch's old house, its old home. So you see like a bunch of garbage pieces that have been left here that the Grinch never like cleaned out. Contraptions rusted with age, fallen apart, long since abandoned. And all throughout it, you can see little tufts of green fur that have maybe been left on pieces of snagged on metal or other things that go into tunnels and other ways out of the mountain. You pass that area and eventually go through one more tunnel that weaves deeper under the mountain itself, going kind of back towards the base, and come down into a large open chamber. In front of you, you can see the altar you saw from your vision, and smooth gray cave walls. There are two cultists, one on either side of the room, of the cavern, one that is with a dagger and one with a dagger that is held to Ronald's throat, who is currently tied up below in front of him. You can see Budwell wearing what looks like some form of long green robe with a fake version, a duplicate version of the Burgundy Book at an altar. And the creature to your left, with its many hands retracted into a ball of fur, and otherwise you cannot see clearly into its sort of green mass. And then you see Hebetia, who is currently held in a mass of screaming hoo-beast meat that is currently binding her in a pillar, essentially, in the center. And all you hear is the subtle, desperate cries of these hoopies going, "Kirby, Kirby, Kirby, Kirby," in the background. And then as Budwell holds up the book and closes it, all of the hoopies go silent. And then he goes, "Well, this is just dandy. This is great. So good to see all of you. I'm so glad you've made the right decision." And you see that LaCroix nods. "Well, please come. We've got so much to discuss. Titles, your father has failed us. So if you're okay, I'd like to kill him."
He failed me pretty well as well. But I don't think he should be killed necessarily.
I disagree because I don't particularly like him. And I think that he will cause
problems. That's a strong logic. You know,
I can't argue with that. Yeah. Well, I think he may be of use still, perhaps, if this doesn't work out. He is related to me.
Yes, but you're more of use to me than him. He's not even got a bloodline that matters. You do. And mostly because of your true mother anyways.
Right. Well, I will say it may be more risky. Somebody could be, you know, it could go poorly.
If your father was to be deposed, I think it'd be worth a risk.
No,
but,
you think so?
I think so. And I would like to...
There are some people who are very devoted to him still.
Ooh. You're right.
Might cause a disruption with the ritual.
There's that woman that we got turned into a candy cane woman, and she's very, very in love with your father, to the point where it's a bit creepy. So maybe we can
Right, yes, the candy cane woman.
Yeah, we can just...
That we're all familiar with.
We'll just keep him maybe in a cell somewhere. Does
sure.
that work?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
An uncomfortable one in a dark room.
Perfect.
With lots of wet drips from the ceiling.
Yeah, we'll make it out of Who Beast.
Just make it as horrible as possible.
Perfect. Yeah.
That's good.
I can make it out of a full Who Beast cell, mm-hmm. and then it will taunt him for the rest of his days. And Sister Valerie Vu, I'm so sorry about your father being injured. I did not want Viridia to do what she did, but we did need to get the relics.
It's okay, he's fine now. So I'll forgive it.
Oh, we're all on the same side now, so it's fine.
That's great.
All is forgiven.
Appreciate this thing I have. Appreciate this very well. And he pulls out this very, you notice it looks like a bone dagger, kind of similar to your enchanted knife.
Mm-hmm.
And pulls it out. But this one.
Not the spine of the Who Beast, but now it's the tail.
Yeah, it's like, it's a smaller one. So it's like, it's not the full spine. It's like the tail point that's been bone dagger. And it's encrusted with some gem that's like a green gem. And then looks at you and says, and Sandra, I know that we've had our differences. You've been annoying and persistent, but I do respect that to a degree. Would you be interested in being one of our enforcers? For the new age that is to come.
It's better than a meter
reader.
I would
be willing to accept a position of lead enforcer.
That would be wonderful. You'd be working directly under Freddy.
That's perhaps less ideal.
Well, this is perfect.
Why don't you propose a fight to the death over Freddy? So over the role between you and Freddy.
Yes. You see,
whoever lives is the lead enforcer.
You see, Hebedia's currently got their mouth gagged by a piece of Who Beast flesh, and goes, "Well, in which case we have come to an agreement. We shall put your father in a cell. I shall make you. You shall become a new priestess. We shall make you the head of the church. We'll have to dismantle it eventually, but we can maybe keep you in charge for a period, and you can be one of our lead enforcers."
All right, that's perfect. That's everything we wanted for Christmas anyway.
That's perfect.
And then I wink at Bedia.
Yeah. Everybody, like, okay, wink back at you.
Yeah. All right.
Well, how do we proceed from here?
It's very simple. So I will be putting my book on the altar. I'd prefer to use your book, but I would need it to be bound to me. So we'll be using my book.
Mm-hmm.
Then I will use that book to read a specific chant. It will open up automatically when I'm at the altar. It'll connect to what I want for Christmas. I shall then use my dagger to slit through the air Hebedia's throat so her blood flows in green globules down the Who Beast, which will consume it, and then it'll absorb that power into the mountain, where we will wake Thrilgrib up by sacrificing its child to itself, if that makes sense. Because the desire of the child to want to live will in fact then be amplified by Thrilgrim, right? And we'll just need to make sure that you keep a good distance.
So it consumes itself?
It's more that it will protect its creation of itself. It's like attacking. Oh. It's like Hebedia is a little white blood cell, or a cell, you know, more a cell in a larger hole. If you attack the cell, the body's immune response will trigger, and we'll be able to speak to Thrilgrim and entreat him to come into this world.
But don't you think it's going to anger him?
No, he'll love it because he's been trapped underground for so long, unable to get the recognition he so rightly deserves.
Right. So you think by harming him in this way, it will wake him up, and then you can appeal to his interests.
We can't harm Thrilgrim. He's so great and powerful that we could only hope to prick him slightly.
A small little pinch is what you're saying.
Just to get attention.
And we can always blame it on Mormons. Be like, they did it.
How do you know about Mormons? Have you read the book? Okay.
It's a wild guess. Honestly, I'm really shocked by this stuff that they are able to guess.
It was just a word we heard somewhere.
Okay. Yeah. Moromon.
This will be very important. My ritual will require me to focus for a period of time, which means I will need you to be careful and to not interrupt me while I perform the chanting.
Of course.
So until then, please, I'll wait at your designated places, and I shall begin. You see, he turns around.
There's like tape on the floor, like little marks,
little spikes.
He's like marked it, yeah, with like I guess strings of popcorn, just like on the ground.
On your mark.
Yeah, and he puts his book on the dais. You realize the dais is not stone. It is like bone, and it connects deeper into the mountain itself. So he places it on top, and he begins to chant. As he chants, the green body of the monster shudders, and you see Hebetia's body begin to convulse as the Hoobies stop chanting, kill me, and they go, want for Christmas. Want for Christmas. And they just repeat in like a chorus, reflecting more Budwell's sort of position here, or his emotions. You see the cultists are slightly distracted at this point while one is holding Donald. And you can run at any point to either cultist or to Budwell. But you do see the monster to your left. And so there is a concern about what you're going to do with the monster. The supervisor is behind you and will maybe do something depending on what you decide to do in this moment.
Okay.
Well, I can always distract the supervisor if you guys want me to.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely would like to do a book effect. Maybe I can.
Yeah.
I can delete another book, perhaps. Like
that'd be huge. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. That'd be really good. Just like, I don't want this book to exist anymore.
Yeah, I don't want it to exist. And then, like, you know, or consolidate or like combine them into one or something like that. Reabsorb it or something.
That is huge for a couple reasons. And you'll see why. So would you like to do that? The ritual has kind of started, so you can choose to activate your book in this moment too.
I will.
However, I will say, do you want to distract as well the supervisor who's watching you more closely?
It's not a weapon. They have my weapons out, but my book.
It is considered a powerful relic, so they may react hostily if you open it up. So I guess
I'm just reading along with them.
Yeah.
Just like ask really interestedly what he can tell you
what page
about
are you
the way
on?
This is working. And he'll be like, oh, sure. Yeah. Let me tell you. And won't pay attention to what you're doing. Yeah.
What are you doing to irritate the...
What page is Big Balls on?
Yeah. Big Balls?
Big Balls.
What are you doing to distract Will, the person who needs to be distracted?
I will turn around and I'll be like, look at them. Look, you see this, and I literally, I don't know why. Like,
we're going back to the tits again.
We never went away from them, okay? No. This is round two. Of the tits, okay?
How much for this string?
When I was in the car, I grabbed the measuring tape, you know, and I just whip it out. Because he said, you know, basically, like, make sure the weapons or, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, this is the biggest weapon that he didn't think about. Uh-huh. So I whip out the measuring tape and I'm like, I'll be like, you see this inch or I don't know, like this fucking 0.5 inch difference?
Yeah.
Look at it carefully.
Okay. I'm going to roll a constitution. Okay.
Is he going to claw his eyes out?
He passes so he doesn't vomit immediately. And instead he just goes, and then he's distracted for he's sure. Like,
I'm sure that measuring tapes are absolutely triggering it. Yes. Every possible.
He's like,
just exposes how everything is slightly off.
Everything is off kilter. I was not paying attention to the exact dimensions of this room, but it's not 30 feet cave? By 30 feet.
Yeah. It's not a perfect circle.
It's not a perfect circle. Anyway, so why are areolas so large? and just, he's now and, a little distracted.
And genetically, only one of them perks up when I'm cold.
I hate it. please roll, I guess, in this case, you just do your check for sanity. Power roll. This is a big one, so you're going to do power roll in this case.
Okay.
That'll just dictate how much sanity damage you would maybe take.
Yep. I got 5.
Okay, that's like a super success. I'm going to say that you actually don't take sanity in this case because you're doing something that's I think pretty smart. So the ritual is going to take, in this case, I'm going to roll a d4, and that tells you how long it would normally take to complete this ritual, assuming there's no interruptions, however, there will be interruptions. So it would take 3 rounds normally. So the first round passes essentially with him chanting. And then you pull out your book, and your book flutters open, and it goes to a story. Initially, you're going to have to read the story, but then you have to delve deeper. So you read the story, and the story is about a man who wishes to return to a time of greatness, and he thinks he can do that by getting the perfect gift for somebody, and by reconnecting with Christmas. To gain fame and glory and attention.
Right. And if he can only find the perfect gift, he would have everything everything would come back to him.
And how that sort of teaches him that he actually can't because he fails. And he fails because the thing he thought was perfect gift proves to be his undoing. And then you delve deeper and you go into a story about related to these sort of the creature that you don't fully understand that wanted to rewrite the world and change what it wanted and be something better. And it entreated something so much bigger than itself that it accidentally caused itself to be ripped asunder. Mm-hmm. And therefore you like get this cautionary tale, and then the manual blips out. And this causes 2 things to happen. He is still chanting as if he's overwhelmed by whatever force he was involved with.
Right, so he's already in trance.
But the monster shudders.
Uh-huh.
And its hands come out, looking, feeling, and it rushes towards the first cultist. It picks them up. And it does not try to control them, absorb them, or kill them with some mind-altering Christmas greed-related magic. It simply rips them into 2.
Holy shit.
It rips them into 2 and utters... Nintendo Amiibo, $50
it rips them into 2 uneven
pieces. Yes, 2 uneven pieces.
2 non-symmetrical.
I'll roll another.
Two imperfect halves. He vomits
this time.
Not all Mega Evolutions available at launch. Pokemon.
He just starts vomiting. He's like, oh, no, his legs are 2 centimeters more longer. It's not even the boobs. The boobs aren't even that scary in comparison to that.
Like, honestly, I kind of get offended because like I want to win in something.
I love that he's not puking for the gore. It's the fact that, he's bleeding more on the left than on the right.
Yeah, I can't. It's not symmetrical. And then you see the thing just start going crazy. But it is essentially just wild at this point. Seemingly because the thing that had bound it to him is gone. That is going to be kind of the start of this. So I will say Sandra can do something at this point if you want to. There's one cultist holding your brother. There's the person who's vomiting, but is technically still able to do something on their after all of you, which is the assistant. And then there is, of course, Budwell, who's still chanting in the center. And Hebetia is still in the flesh pile.
Okay.
Okay.
Got the Sandra.
I'm going to try and rescue my brother.
That's fair.
So, should I rush that cultist or try and shoot them? Numbers say I should try and shoot them.
Yeah, they're your brother's on the ground, so you'd know there's not a huge chance of hitting him.
Cool.
In this moment.
Fuck. Every time I use my gun this time.
Mm-hmm. It goes off wild, and the cultist looks at you now, seeing that you have fired a gun. After that, we'll say the cultist, everyone just goes kind of in this order. So the cultist holding your brother picks up your brother, holds the knife to their throat, and then uses them as a human shield, so you can't easily shoot at them anymore.
We know you're going to keep rolling 90 plus, so
yeah.
You will get shot.
Yeah.
Every time I use a gun, I'm rolling above 90.
The monster is going to go after all of them because it's ripped one apart. Budwell continues to chant. I'm going to roll a power roll to see how successful he is with his second round. He is not super successful in his second round. So you see that he is disrupted by the book no longer being there, and he starts trying to force his way through it, but doesn't succeed his POW check. He needs to get a couple of these in a row. Now that it's no longer there, he needs to actually roll power to succeed, and he needs to do it three times. He's got one success only. After him and the monster moves, the monster actually moves to the flesh pile and looks to begin trying to peel away Who Beast flesh to get at Habedia, but does not do anything else in this moment. It's just peeling away at it. And it's slowly making a dent because it's not using all its hands. It's actually only using like two hands, and the rest of the hands are just like wildly seeking outside of its body. Mm-hmm. If anything gets near it to grab it. Then it goes back to Sandra and to Purdy and to Valerie. We'll do this in this order because we're the first to go after.
Okay. And so with my effect, did it absorb the book? It was able to destroy it?
Yeah, basically you were like, this is a, I don't want this to exist anymore. Yeah. So it's a fake. Yeah, so it is removable from existence. So
it's a false.
Yeah.
Okay. So now that I've done that, I think I'm going to try to rush towards Habedia.
Yeah.
And
so there's a little like lower part. So you'll have to go down into like a lower platform, and then you can try to like crawl up the flesh of the creatures.
All right. And I will. So I'll try to scale that then.
I think it would be athletics if there's an athletics, I think.
Brutal if there is. There's
no, not athletics. It would just be strength, I guess.
Strength. There's no dexterity. There's size.
I would say strength.
Okay.
Oh, there's climbing.
There's climbing. Do climb.
Okay. 77.
Yeah. So you're trying to get up there, but as you try to get purchase, the actual mouths of the beasts, which are not defanged.
They haven't been defanged. Come on. These are the only non-defanged beasts.
Yeah,
because they were trying to do suffering, right?
Yeah. So they're just like trying to nip at you, and you can't get like a handhold because you have to clear away.
If they bite themselves, then they.
Yeah, they're all just huge flesh monster right now.
I feel like Who Beasts only just became fanged like 5 minutes ago.
No, they were always fanged. They were always fanged.
But, you know, on farms,
the fangs retract, right? So you don't really see the fangs. Most of the times, people don't think of fangs.
And they remove them for, you know, farms and stuff, yeah. Anyways, after that,
they have to be fanged. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to get the anti-venom.
Yeah, true. You need the anti-venom. Valerie is after that, sorry. So, Valerie, what are you going to do? You've distracted the supervisor at the moment.
Well, what are my options, realistically speaking?
Well, you've got a few. There's Budwell.
I can talk to my cape and see.
You could ask your cape.
Like a lionfish. They actually just have spines that are rockfish.
I think I want to talk to my cape, and I'm like, listen, you know, you've dealt with this thing before. Like, this is your moment to shine, you know? We're all in this together, like they said in K. Camp Rock.
You have
that loved. Was definitely not
the first
film.
Time anyone ever said that.
Camp Rock.
Oh shit!
I the was sequel to Camp School of Rock. The High School Musical.
No, High School Musical. He goes. Huh, yeah, right. I like that movie. And then you hear in your head, Camp Rock.
Again, it wasn't in Camp Rock.
In my version of Camp Rock, it is. And then,
I'm so
confused now.
Is the cape engineered by Soviet scientists? You know,
the
that was dropped through the Alps
in the world and anyway. Will always be. Anyways, the cape goes.
Yeah.
You have two options. Mm-hmm. One, you use more of our power, which is of danger to you, to try to gain claim over the creature in the center of the cave. Number two, you kill the person in the middle of the ritual, which will require you to overcome the natural...
The mayor.
Yes, which will require you to overcome the natural forces that are at play, the Eldritch forces. So you could basically choose to use one or the other.
Well, the other sounds much better than one. Because I'm going to sacrifice all my life.
I helped Cindy Lou fight something like the creature in the middle. And yes, I had to use some of her life force to do so. But yeah, it was successful. You've got like a 50-50 chance or so.
I'll take it. Sounds like the odds are in my favor.
At the very least, you'll probably repel the beast, and though it's harder to command it than somebody with a manual, it's definitely something that could interrupt its attempt to, I'm pretty sure, eat or kill the thing in the person in the center of the flesh.
Mm-hmm. Well, at first, I do want to try to just interrupt the mayor. Like, just, yeah I'll try.
For sure. Do whatever you want. I'm not your dad.
Okay. Gee. Like, giving me more daddy issues than I already have. Thank you.
If anything, I'm your cool older brother.
Okay. All right. All right. So, I guess I'm going to try to do fighting brawl.
Yes. So if you want a fighting brawl while he's chanting in front of the DS, you need to do a power roll to get through the defenses of the DS.
Yeah.
Alternatively, you can interact with the DS to try and interrupt the ritual that way. So again, that would also be a power roll.
Wait, power roll is power, right? So
it's yeah. Yeah. It's just that you'd be opposed. Let's try that.
All right. I'm gonna roll now. 13,
that's
which is
good.
By the way, my fifth is 14, so it's like one below.
Yeah.
It's like,
so let's roll his power. Not as good, 56. So
yeah,
how this will work is you take your fist,
yeah,
and you punch at the mayor. Your fist cascades through walls of pure psychic energy.
Yeah.
That actually have feedback. So how much life do you have right now?
I have 9.
Okay. You will take a D4
sure.
of psychic feedback, but you'll also hit him for some damage.
Okay.
And you won't have to take that feedback again, because what happens is you punch the psychic energy. Your mind is flooded with visions of people in Whoville.
Punch!
Yeah. Mm. And they're flooded with visions of people in Whoville that are all thinking about things they want for Christmas and all of the things you want that you need to have so badly that they hurt. If you don't have them, you might as well kill yourself. And then you punch through all of that to get into the like circle of that psychic storm and then hit him in the back of the head as he's chanting.
Yeah.
So roll a damage, I think a D4 for you, yours as well.
It's a 2.
Okay, so 2 damage.
But I think more importantly, it's like, it's not about the damage, right? It's about the kind of like the friction with his body and like.
Yeah, you're more just like disrupting him and speaking.
Yeah.
So he kind of stumbles and he continues trying to chant, but he looks at you with like fury, and he's going to maybe do something on his turn instead, but he's partially disrupted. This will give him a penalty die on his attempt to do a power roll on his chantings as well. So now you're going to disrupt his ability to chant every turn until he gets you out of this area. After that, Sandra, you've got your brother. He's being held hostage. What would you like to do?
I thought I might as well try and climb for her Havedia as well.
Yeah, you can like go up if you want.
I mean, we just need two of us getting chomped to death by...
Well, I've got a pretty good climb score, but then, you know, by pretty good, I mean I have a more than 50% chance, which is incidentally the same chance as I have to shoot, which I keep failing at, but...
Fair. You have to do two checks. One is a climbing and one is a dexterity.
Okay. They're both 60s, so should I just roll twice?
And... Yeah.
Doop, 26. That's
good.
Good. And then 91.
You take a D4 damage.
So you're climbing, though.
But you do climb.
It's good.
So 1d4 of damage.
You're making progress.
1d4 of damage.
But what, you stuck your face, you stuck your hand right in one of their mouths?
You take one damage as literally one of them, it's like retractable fangs go out, and then it goes into your hand, and you're like, ow! and it just clips you, and then you continue climbing up. And you get up to a
portion. You grab onto their fangs, you can use them as picks, ice picks.
You get up to Hebedia, who looks at you like as she's trying to struggle and can't get out. But you are up there with her now. You won't have to take another bite from any of these creatures. And you have, of course, your gun, but you don't have a blade. So you would need to get next time.
I wonder if I could throw it up to you. If I threw it up to you, what would that be?
It's fine. You can throw it. You can pass it.
I wouldn't do a check or anything?
No, because you can pass it.
I can't put the barrel of the gun against the binding and like kunk.
You could, but you have a chance of hitting her because it's moving flesh.
What's your brawl score?
50.
Okay, perfect. I'll pass it to you.
So after that, it goes to them. The cultist basically looks at you and moves closer to the supervisor and yells at them,
"Oh, what should I do about the dead weight?"
And the supervisor goes,
"Sorry, I'm just still really, I don't know. Doesn't look like they care about them. Try threaten them."
And you see that they look at you and they go, "Get down here." And they take the knife and they stab your brother in the shoulder. He can't really dodge. He's bound. So he's just going to take a D4 of damage. So can you roll a D4 for me, please?
Yeah.
Actually, it's D6. Sorry. It's a dagger.
Oh, no.
Plus two.
Three.
So five. So he gets stabbed very deeply. He's lost half his life, basically. And he goes, "Ow, no, save Hebedia, save Hebedia," as he's being stabbed. Afterwards, we're back to the sort of top of everything because the monster, it just spent its turn ripping away flesh. As it does so, it reveals more of Hebedia.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of grazes her at one point, and you see her hair, which is, again, green in the flesh, glows a little bit as her eyes glow green. And she screams with a blood-curdling scream, even with her mouth gagged by the flesh. And all of you in your brains feel the most intense hunger for something. Not food, not water. You feel like something is missing in your life. And you just know that if you get it, you will be... whole, and I need all of you to do another sanity check.
Okay.
9. Oh, why can't I shoot like that?
Is it just below your Christmas spirit?
You have to roll under your actual sanity roll because there's a sanity.
Oh, fuck, it's 70. No, I rolled 71.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel
more. I'm under. Slightly. I'm good.
Okay. If you failed, you lose half your Christmas spirit now.
Okay. I lose 40 Christmas spirit.
Yeah. So very bad. You're like, it's a huge chunk as you feel your body is overwhelmed by the true essence of Thrillgrib in this moment. You realize if this ritual goes off, everyone in Whoville is going to go insane and this thing is going to break out, which is very bad. Obviously, if you wish to live in Whoville as it is now, that's just from it brushing her. So you realize it wants to touch her. It needs to get to her. And that is a problem. As that happens, it goes back to the top because they've all done their things. The supervisor essentially just like goes to be with the other cultist and is threatening your brother. And it goes back to Purdy.
Purdy. Okay, I'm going to pass. First of all, I'm going to pass the blade up to you. Then I feel like I should stay down. I should try to help. Is it Don? Don?
Yeah,
Don.
Ronald.
Ronald.
Donald's up.
Right. Donald. Fucking liability.
Yeah.
But Ronald's not looking. He's kind of a liability for himself.
Very injured now.
Okay, so I saw them. Obviously, I've seen them turn the daggers into candy canes before, so I know that that's possible and probably a minor magic.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to do that. I'm going to take the dagger that he's been stabbed with and turn it into a candy cane so he can't be stabbed again with it.
Great idea. So you can target both that, the dagger in his and the supervisor's hands because they both got one. So roll a sanity check. This is one, if you roll successfully, you take a small amount of sanity only.
I got six.
Okay, I'm going to say that is a d4 of sanity only loss. Okay. A Christmas spirit loss.
Of Christmas, okay.
Yeah. And then...
It's two, so that gives me... What am I down to now? I'm down to... I'm actually pretty good. I'm only at 70-something.
You've only used... it's like over time this would be a problem, but not enough time has passed for this to be an issue.
I think I've just been rolling really well with those because honestly, the sanity stuff, I've only lost really when you've made us do a sanity check, not when,
When you've used your powers.
Powers have been good.
You see their blades all turn, except for, of course, the one in the cult leader. His doesn't
well,
turn.
Big something.
Yeah.
Budwell.
Budwell's is still bone. So as you see them transform and they're now weaponless, they crack in their hands and they just become candy cane. And I also will see if I'm going to roll to see if Ronald fell unconscious. No, he stayed conscious. And then it is going to be Sandra. Sandra, you have the blade. You can just cut Habedia out at this point.
Which I will do.
You cut through the Who Beast. It melts like sizzling butter.
Oh, what does it smell like?
Probably like it smells like nice browning butter. It
smells like nice browning butter and roast turkey stuffing. And it screams,
delish.
Kiri! As you go into it, carving it
I'm
out.
I'm doing it as fast as I can.
Got your back, buddy.
Yeah. And she kind of slips out because it also melts things, kind of the flesh around her. She slips out. She takes out the thing from her mouth. You slip back down the Who Beast and you run. Basically towards the entrance you came from. And then the creature looks around and continues to look at Habedia. You have two problems now. One, you have to get Habedia out of here, but the ritual can still happen. So you have to kind of do two things. And this is where you'll probably have to decide how you want to do it. After you, it is Valerie, I believe, because you, and then Valerie is next. You are now in a mono-a-mono fight against the cult leader.
I mean, like, again, are my options just, like, simply to attack him versus trying to, like, control the beast or whatever?
You have two options.
Yeah.
One, you're at the bone altar, and you can ask to use the shawl's help. Try and, really disrupt the ritual.
Yeah.
The repercussions of which, given you're not a conduit, could be dangerous.
Yeah.
You could, in very... Call of Cthulhu-esque status here, sacrifice yourself to ensure the ritual is like stopped and then just the creature is left.
Yeah.
But that would absolutely cause huge problems for you because you'd have to do that. Or you can attempt to like...
that would absolutely cause huge problems for you because, you have to do that.
Well, because you'd be dead, basically. Yeah. Or you can just try to control the ritual and disrupt it with the shawl's help.
I think I'll do the second one because I'm only 26. Okay. So it's like life is ahead of me. And
you've only given up a little bit of your life. Okay.
Your whole life, which is ahead of you, which is like probably 33 minutes.
So you grab the thing. You have to do a pow roll again.
Okay. 39. It's a pass. It's a pass. It's
you
a
pass. You reverse the first ritual kind of like progress.
Yeah.
Sabotaging a little bit. He now has to do three more. Also the shawl speaks to you and says,
We make a great team.
I once served a very selfless girl and I'm impressed that you were willing to do so much to protect your friends and your town.
Thank you so much. I do what I gotta do.
If you die in this fight, for whatever reason,
oh,
just know
what's that the probability?
I appreciate our partnership.
Thank you.
And as you hear that, the person attempts to stab you with a dagger. So let's do the cultists here. So, like, first of all, Budwell's going to try and stab you with a dagger.
Do I roll for anything?
You can not attempt. I will say.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, maybe not. It's fair.
I would say you can attempt to dodge, but
I mean, I have 9 health.
You can attempt to dodge, but you will take a penalty die because you are holding on to the.
I think I'll just have to take it in the gut.
Okay.
In the booty.
So, in which case, it is a success 56. So you will take. Wow. So it was a d6 plus.
Plus?
2 plus 4, which is...
Wait, d6 plus 2 plus 4?
Oh, sorry, plus 2. Sorry, plus 2 plus okay. 2. So plus 4 total, which would be a 5, because I rolled a 1.
Yay!
Yeah.
Okay, I live.
Roll a constitution save, because you need to see a constitution, because this is more than half your HP, or equal to half your HP.
5.
You do not fall unconscious, which is great. So, as... Yeah. You get stabbed with this bone dagger in the shoulder. You feel the shawl look like connect with you and go, interesting. I'll tell you about it in a second. And then we go to the other ones. The other one is going to...
The shawl is like, interesting. Narrative break.
Yeah, narrative break. The cultist is going to like still hold your brother as hostage, but try to back out. The supervisor is going to try and head off Hebedia and Sandra and will attempt to use his powers of symmetry. So I need you to do a power check. This is just to resist. And I also roll for Hebedia.
Doing sympathetic magic.
Hebedia fails with an 81.
I just barely passed with a 44. Okay.
You feel your body is about to be stunted because he's going to force you to only walk in 1-inch intervals, but you like pull past it and you see Hebedia immediately go like, I can't move. I can't move. And she's like shuffling now because she can't physically move more than 1 inch at a time. And we'll need your help to basically pick her up or move her. That is all they do because the monster moves basically following you. Kind of takes most of its movement getting out past the flesh and then gets kind of part way. You know, this thing is fast enough that if it is not distracted in some way by someone, it's going to catch up to Hebedia and Sandra. Now it is going to be back to the top. So Purdy.
Okay.
This thing moves past you, by the way. It doesn't even touch you initially because you're behind the flesh wall, so it doesn't notice you in that moment.
Okay, okay. I'm going to... So he has my blade, right?
Or she
has
I can
my
say blade. You were given... You like he dropped it down okay, for okay. you, or she dropped it down after
handed
you.
Handed it off.
Okay, we handed it off. Okay, all right, perfect. So then I will... So do you have like... Can you show me on the room
yeah,
here?
Yeah, let me show you on the thingy. We're... So Hebedia's out of the flesh wall. You're here by the flesh wall. The monster's moved past you.
Yeah.
Hebedia and Sandra are here. The cultist with Donald... Ronald is here. And so is the manager, and then just with Budwell is Valerie in the center of the ritual.
Okay, story. So I should probably head to try to handle the monster, the big creature. I think
maybe. You can distract it, but be aware that if you distract it,
yeah,
it may come to you. And at that point, if you're alone, you would be sacrificing yourself.
All right. Well, that's how far. I'm not that far close to it, right?
You can absolutely get to it. It's basically you're down here, and you can just go up the top to the top of the.
Yeah. Chamber. Okay. Then I'll do that then.
So you go up, and you're going to go in front of it, or just like try to stab at it from behind.
I'm going to try to stab at it from behind.
Okay. Just to get roll an attack with POW.
Okay. A big wide swing and take off several of its hands.
Yeah. I'm going to go for the as many limbs as possible here. Just under.
Nice. It's not dodging. It's not doesn't really have that awareness. So you. Slice through a hand and it cuts off and it like bleeds again green blood and you hear a scream from inside even though it has no mouth that you can see and its body without really understanding how it's pivoting does kind of turn towards you.
Okay.
Afterwards, it is Sandra. Sandra, you see that Purdy has distracted this thing as it's gonna chase you down. and you're just blocked by Ronald,
over here,
the cultist, and the
I'm manager. What you want for Christmas.
Yeah. That's true.
I'm gonna take another shot at the guy who's messing with Ronald.
That will possibly risk hitting Ronald.
What about the supervisor?
You can hit the supervisor.
Great. Let's try that. 20! Yay! Ooh. That is, my modified total is 60. So that is less than half.
I'm going to give you a D8 and you can add +2 to that. 10. Oh my God. Okay, so the supervisor like messes with Hebetia, and then he goes, "That's right. Now you can only walk 1 inch the way that I think you should, because that is the utmost symmetrical." And actually, it's not even an inch.
Shut. He goes,
"You can go 1 meter
up."
Yeah. You can go 1 centimeter, and then you just say, "Shut up." Boom in the face. And he just, his head explodes in green blue blood as he's just killed. And then you see Habedia's movements go back to normal. Because you did 10 damage and they have 10 HP. Valerie,
yeah.
You are with the knife is still like kind of was in your back, will be pulled out again if you don't do anything in this moment, but you stopped the ritual from progressing at least once.
Yeah.
So what would you like to do next?
Oh, I have to do it again? I thought.
Well, the ritual didn't get canceled because he's still chanting, but you've stopped him from progressing it by one.
Okay, well.
You can also ask the cloak to give you some magic, but that will come at a cost too.
I know. I'm just trying to like be, I'm trying to be like resourceful and not spend all my life money. Okay. I'm being cheap right now.
Yeah.
Like
I said, you had like 5 years left and then you already used a couple.
All right. All right. Listen. I mean, okay, wait, hold on. But like, can't I just push him again or like try to like shut his mouth or like punch him in the face?
You can try to make him quiet, but you would need to like wrestle with him. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Try and cover his mouth.
Yeah.
So then roll a fighting brawl. He will attempt to.
I did succeed.
Okay. Let's see if he beats your fighting brawl. No, he fails. So, and critical actually failure. So not only can you grab his mouth, I will let you grapple him into like a chokehold. Mm. So you like,
you know how I'm grappling him.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Into the bosom and the knife is still in your
like
back.
I just put his face in there. I'm like.
Yeah, you're still bleeding a little bit, but you're holding him.
Chant in this. Mm.
Until he breaks out, the chanting cannot continue, which means the ritual cannot progress. And then it is back to their turns. He is kind of being held. I'll do a con save to see if he passes out next turn from lack of air, but until then he's going to flail. And then the cultist is going to hold his action and say, "Don't get any closer or I kill him," as he kind of backs a little bit towards the back. The monster is going to turn towards to Purdy.
Bring it on.
I have a question for you.
Yep.
Do you think Purdy would try to sacrifice themselves in this moment, or are you going to try and resist as this thing tries to grab you?
Well, here's the thing. Like, I don't think I'm certain about what happens if I die. I know that I have the ability to stop it and to help them right now, but if I gave myself up, what would be?
Yeah.
What would they have left?
Yeah, you may just be
able to. A lot of things, to be honest. A lot of things.
You don't just two asymmetrical titties. That's all you. That's all you have.
I think if you
and
just
a chicken nugget arm.
I think if it happens, it happens. But I don't think that it's like a will. I don't think that's. Yeah, I think it's a resistant thing. Okay. You know, at this point. Yeah.
So most likely it will hit you, given its strength.
Yeah.
Yeah, but as it grabs you, it won't kill you immediately, because you do have a connection to the book. Okay. So it picks you up, it grabs you.
Oh no.
And you feel your
put me down.
Yeah, you feel your body stop functioning. You feel like you're almost like sleep paralysis. You have frozen. And you hear not a voice in your head or an entreatment or the sound of a god that you can even speak with. It only proves that Budwell is being his plan is not going to work, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, because all you feel is the emotion, the raw power of kind of like the opposite of entropy. It's, mm-hmm, creation, but it's horrible. It's gifts, but with cost. It's everything everyone would look for. And in doing so, you can feel that this would destroy you. You know that this thing will not kill you on your next turn. You can't move until someone helps you. But if they don't help you, it will absorb you. And you'll be brought to Thrillgrib. And when you think about what that means, it is terrifying because you don't think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You don't think that means you're going to, it's going to be a good ending, but it's also like your connection to Thrillgrib. And then you think about what you read in the book and how like the conduits are infused a little bit with Thrillgrib's power.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you think, and this is a very disturbing thought, you think, oh, I know what happens if this thing absorbs me. I go home. I become me again. And then you snap back and you're like, okay. As if you have a part of you that you don't really want to acknowledge and may not be really you. But then who are you if that is true? So it really fucks with you. And you will have to...
Probably like I'm resisting something to stay here.
Yeah, the component of...
But then at the same time, like if I was there, I would be losing this.
Yeah, like to be in in an existence where Thrillgrib is, and to go into that world, mm-hmm, you would cease to be a who. And by ceasing to be a who, you'd cease to be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But Right. Does that mean who you are is a facsimile, or does it mean that like what you're going to become is a facsimile? You can't tell. In this moment, you can't tell. And for that reason, you take a D10 of sanity loss.
Okay, right.
Or so, a Christmas spirit loss.
So I would be like de-hooing.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, your hair, which is red, is billowing. And in fact, your eyes, you've got these two eyes that are kind of glowing with a green light.
I only took one.
And you see another set of eyes opening up on your cheek. You can't feel it, but everyone else can see like another set of eyes opening up and your arms beginning to split as if like you're being flayed into a new form. And you can't, you don't really understand if it's fully happening or if it's just all in your head. Reality is bending. That is your experience in this moment. Which means afterwards, Sandra, you can do something because you just shot the person in the head. And you see that happening to Purdy. You also have a blood grenade, by the way, but that would mean giving up your gun, your special gun.
Yeah. Well, hopefully there's not too many more eldritch things than this thing kicking around. But also, I feel like the blood grenade would be as much of a danger to Purdy as it is to the monster.
It would be.
Maybe it's better to just tackle Ronald and this other guy and keep clearing the route out.
For Hebetia to just run?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. Roll a brawl, a fighting brawl. I'll give him a penalty die because he's not really able to fight back when he's holding someone hostage the same way.
Well, and I was going to ask, how much is he still holding him hostage because he doesn't have the knife anymore, but is he just like still holding him as a human shield?
He's just holding him as a human shield. Okay. So. Penalty die for sure.
Nice, I rolled 13.
And he got a 7 reduction, minus 7, 20, 23. So he's actually got 30. What did you roll again?
13.
So then you tackle him and separate them. The cultist clambers up and actually starts to try and just run away. After that happens, Valerie is next. Valerie, you're holding him and keeping his mouth shut. The ritual is still happening, but it's not progressing. And you think about it, and you realize you need someone to be able to close the ritual. And that requires either connecting with it with your cloak, which would require you sacrificing some more life force, or getting another conduit to the altar. And that the only person you have right now is either Hebetia, who doesn't know how to really connect with this power, or the currently being ripped asunder, or their identities being ripped asunder, Purdy. But you need to, of course, knock him unconscious first. So I'll let you can choose to knock him unconscious in this
moment.
I
will attempt to. Yeah.
Get a bonus die. It'd be fighting. You can use power because again, you're using the cloak.
Power works. 48. Okay. Yeah.
So I'll roll a con save, see if he can resist being choked out. He fails. He got 72.
Oh.
So
mayor my ass.
You see that he begins kind of like passing out and falls unconscious. And then you can get up and you can leave the storm, ritual storm.
I'll like, what do you call it? Hunch? Like, because I have a wound.
Bud well, yeah. More like bud fell.
Yeah,
bud
you have fell. One Damn. Option though, and I will say this because you already used your action to knock him unconscious.
All right.
You need to use the cloak to try and get this thing to let go of.
Okay.
And fine, to do that requires you to use some of its power.
Okay. What do I do?
You have to touch it. You literally have to reach your hand into the wet green fur.
Wet.
Get in there.
Moisty.
Do you anyway, run over?
I will touch. Okay. I will.
You step in. Your hand.
Thrust my hand into it.
Goes inside. And
rent free.
You feel for a moment the wet fur, but then it blends. It like pushes away. And then all of you see a bright flash from the cloak.
Oh, yeah.
And the cloak goes, Das Vendanya, motherfucker. Thank you for the extra 2 years of life.
Oh,
and then you see a glowing, like, vision of
Snape. And you had to stick your hand inside of, like, Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah. It's all there.
Brutal.
You see a glowing, floating image, like almost like a vision of the Virgin Mary, but it is of St. Cindy Lou.
Oh.
Smiling and glowing above you and sort of going and matching with your hand as you touch into the creature, overlaying with it.
Magical.
The creature kind of recoils a bit and it shows you a couple images trying to defend itself, but you resist as you roll high enough with your pow. It tries to show you images of your parents that you never met. Their faces flash in front of you and they begin to open their mouths. But then the power of St. Cindy's cloak, which you know, this power of the dreamlands, you repel it and you reveal those faces to be fake. And it recoils and actually shrinks a little bit for a moment in power. And you get the sense of this is what St. Cindy did, is like connected with the Grinch and used all of her life force to shrink it into nothingness. You don't have enough life force to do that. So you basically bring it down a little bit and it
Right, because you're middle age.
Because you're too old.
Okay.
That's what it is.
And then you see Purdy is dropped. Their hands fuse back into a Whoville shape. Their whole body is back to being more Who and less Dreamland's monster. And you realize it's unfortunate for you, but your sanity is, what's your current sanity?
Mine?
Oh, yeah.
71.
I'm going to probably say you're going to lose just naturally 3d10 sanity.
That's all right.
Well, at least you didn't lose half of it.
Yeah. I know.
Half would be worse, but 3d10 is still pretty bad, only because
I've been rolling well
moment.
With the d10, so I will, let me see here. Yeah. Say that, and then I lose only 12.
Yeah, so not
really,
too bad.
Really good.
You see visions of the dreamlands. You lose sense of who you are. You realize this is maybe what you're supposed to be, that what you were was nothing, that everything didn't matter, that you were a speck, that you need to go back to who you truly are, which is part of Thrillgrib, part of his grand desire, part of its desire, really. It's not a, it doesn't even have a gender. And then you flush back in and you're like, no, I'm Purdy Who Bunkins. What was I thinking? I'm not that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you
part this place. Jim.
Yeah. You come back into it. You realize that your response is definitely not the same as if that thing touches, of course, Hebetia. Mm-hmm. With that though, Hebetia runs just out. And I assume with Sandra, because you can pick up your brother and run after the cultist who's running out into the snow. And then you get out of the cave, like you go back into the home of the Grinch, actually. And there is something here you can do if the monster keeps going after you. There is a precariously placed piece of Grinch machinery up on the top.
Oh, yes.
So if you can
some
get
early
there,
Grinch tech.
Yeah, you can maybe collapse it in on it. However, doing so will maybe collapse the other two.
Right, so you're saying it could close this entire chamber.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Which would just mean you need to find an alternative way to get out. After you kind of come out, you're running out there with Hebetia. It goes back to, I guess, Purdy. Purdy, this thing, the monster has sort of turned now that it's been recoiled, and it looks around to see where Hebetia is. And you can choose to basically, it's going to start going out the other path, which means what we need to do is kind of two things. I want Purdy. You have to run over to try and control the ritual. So yeah. Roll a pow roll as you sprint over to the ritual to try and end it.
94, way, way above it.
Okay, so your pow doesn't function here in this case. I will allow you to get a second try, but in this case, you're going to use a pow from Valerie. So Valerie uses pow to try and help you connect instead because your initial attempt failed.
I saw some crazy things, Valerie.
So do a power roll, Valerie.
I did. Okay. I can't even explain what I saw. I need you to just settle me and calm my nerves.
Okay, it's a success. Yeah. You know, not the crazy.
So initially you go in there, you are overwhelmed by power. The eldritch power is flooding through you. You actually feel like you're going to complete the ritual for a moment accidentally because you're just so connected to the homeland.
Oh my gosh.
And it brings you back. It's like pineapple.
You're like, pineapple. Pineapple. And you reconnect back into Whoville where you are and you close it off. After closing it off, you have to run after the two of them. So I'll say you get into the main chamber and there's going to be a moment where like the creature is on the bottom and you're kind of all surrounding it. So let's do this. Sandra, you have two options. You see that you all come into the main chamber of the Grinch's like old house and there is a way to get up. However, the creature has to be distracted before everyone else can get up the top to the top level. Or Sandra can make a miracle shot with the gun to dislodge the thing on top, to crush essentially under its weight the monster to try and get away.
It's a good thing I never used any of my luck points.
Yeah.
Terrific rolls.
Yeah, sure. I'll give it a shot. Miracle shot. So my gun skill is 60. I rolled an 11.
No luck needed.
Holy smokes. All those poor rolls. Loading this up.
Although I'm getting suspicious of this dice app. I would say that on my D100,
all 90.
I have only rolled below 20 or above 85.
Yeah. So so as you like are running, you pull the gun up with the rosary. It flashes. You fire a bullet. It ricochets off of a bunch of metal components. You just were like, maybe I can hit this. You needed to absolutely get like a super success, and you did. And it like creaks and aches. Mm-hmm. And instead of having to give up somebody to, you know, distract this thing, massive piece of metal that was like a light fixture component up top that
hanging
was
by a green string.
Yeah. Falls and crashes on top of the creature, and you can get past it while it is scrambling under it. It's not dead, but it is distracted and scrambling, and you get out of the cave, basically all sprinting outwards. You come out of the cave, you go into the Dumb-Dumb-Dumb Crumpet connection, you fly back to the sanitation department, and as you do, you...
On the eagles from like Mount Mordor.
And as you do, I guess like, you get a little like, we can do the little wonderful, what's it called? There's a little like...
Outro.
You come out into the office, you get to the car, you drive off into
and Anthony Hopkins narrates as we drive off
into the distance. I totally thought we were going to get like halfway back to the sanitation department and the ending of the Eldritch magic means that the tubes stop working and we all just like crash and burn along the bottom of the tubes.
No, you didn't. Of course, the magic's still happening. And then you hear Anthony Hopkins go, and so it was written as stories do go, the beast was defeated, returned to the snow. The cult and its schemes were bested this fight, their candle snuffed out by the strength of our might. Us who's stood together, our season made right. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. as you speed off, hearing that in the distance.
Christmas might have been saved.
Christmas. And you get off, you're going time. Off into night. You see from the little container or from the pipe that goes into the office to the office of
Budwell.
The chamber opens and one long green hand reaches out of the pipe.
Oh, no!
Horror movie.
Yay.
And that is where we end today's final Whoville session. You did it! No one died. No one had to sacrifice themselves.
Well, everyone's still gonna die, probably. But after Christmas, Unboxing Day.
Yeah, Unboxing Day.